Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
You know what? God is moving today. God is moving. God is speaking. It's like when Adrian brought that word this morning about God wants to step in. God wants to break into our lives. God wants to really show us his power. There are some of us here that are going through struggles today, and God's moving in. And when we hear about the story of Beverly, like answered prayer and God moving in and breaking into people's lives and really transforming it, today's message is on prayer. It's about the kingdom of God, and it's about prayer. And prayer is not, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. And as I was preparing this today, God has reminded me that so prayer is when we give our attention to God. Prayer is when we speak to God. And God is always ready to listen to us. And God is, in this season, he's calling us into conversation. He's calling us in to invite him into our lives and invite him in to the situations that we face. And if you wanted me to explain prayer to youth, I would simply explain it like this. Youth are on their phone constantly. Youth are always WhatsApping, texting, calling, social media. And that is exactly what prayer is. It's literally you pick up your phone and you have a conversation with God. You speak to God. And that is the simple explanation of what prayer is. And that is how easy we have prayer. Are we picking up our spiritual phones and are we texting God? Are we talking to God and having a conversation with God? Because it should be natural for us as children of God to ask God for the things that we need in life, for guidance, for advice, and just have a conversation with him. And today's an important message because God wants to step in to our lives today. And as I was preparing this preach, God gave me a picture of a boy in a sandpit. And the boy's in the sandpit, he's playing, he's having fun, he's building sandcastles, he's having a great time. But as he's digging into the sandpit, he hits something hard. And as he's moving the sand out of the way, he comes across this huge rock in the middle of his sandpit. So he goes, that shouldn't be there. This needs to be removed from my sandpit. So he starts moving all the sand out of the way. He tries to push it. He tries to pull it, but he can't move it. And while all this is going on, his father is in the house behind him, looking out through the window at everything that is going on. And the son is trying everything that he can. He's trying to push it. He's trying to pull it, but he can't move it. And eventually, he slips his fingers underneath the rock and lifts it up, but it's too heavy, and he drops it, and he crushes his thumb, and he screams, and he cries. The father comes out running to him, and the father says to him, son, why didn't you use all of your strength to remove the rock? And the boy's like, but daddy, I did. And the dad goes, no, you didn't, because you didn't ask me for my help. And that is the message that God has for us today. God is willing and ready to bring his kingdom into our lives. He is ready to bring his power into our lives. When we pray and we ask God to step in, he brings his power, he brings his kingdom, and he changes our lives, he changes our situations, and God is willing to bring heaven to earth just for us. Do we want that today? Do we need that in our lives today? Because when I think about prayer, when I think about all the things that have been shared today, God is speaking to you, and all he is saying is this. He's like, guys, I'm here. Call upon my name. Call upon me, and I want to come in. I want to come in. I want to break in. I want to bring spiritual breakthrough today. And when I think about praying, we think of God stepping into the sandpits of our lives and removing rocks that we can't move on our own. Prayer changes things. We can pray about anything, and God cares about everything that is happening in our lives and around the world. But sometimes when we pray, we treat God like a genie. We treat him like a vending machine. We just walk up and go, right, I'll have a good week this week. I'll have a new car. And more money. Cheers, God. And that's it. But that's not how we treat God. That's not what prayer is all about. Prayer is more than that. It's not about saying certain words and trying to convince God to do certain things. I remember when I started praying, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I will have a great, that vending machine thing, that was me. That was me. And I've got better at that in praying, but you know what? I actually struggle with prayer today still. And the main thing I struggle with is finding time to pray. Who's busy a lot? Are we really that busy to pray? Because I know I'm not. And I know I should be praying more. The story about the rock in the sandbox, the picture that God gave, is not about a boy who wanted a rock removed from his sandpit, but more about a father who wanted to be close to his son. And it's simply just waiting for his son to ask him. And when Jesus died on the cross for us, he was making it possible for us to have a relationship with God. And prayer is all about us growing closer to God. Matthew 7 is where I'm going to be unpacking from verse 7 to 11. It says this: keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And God is calling us today. He wants to come into our life. He is our Father in heaven, and he wants to guide us as his children. He wants to help us. He wants to step in. God created you with the ability to have a relationship with him. So that means that we need to get to know God as Father. In the Old Testament, God is called Father only 7 times. People just didn't think of God as a father. They thought of him as this creator, almighty one, God of Israel, and so on, and he is. But when Jesus came along and said this, this is how people should pray, call him Father, Jesus uses the expression more than 150 times when he referred to God. And in calling God Father, Jesus broke any stereotype that people had of God. God is not an angry tyrant. He is not a universal killjoy. Instead, he is a personal God, and he created us with the ability to have a relationship with him. And that's what he wants more than anything else for you today. But there's only one problem that we face in this world today. For many people, the word father can be a negative term. It brings up all kinds of bad memories. A lot of people will say, our Father in heaven, well, if God's like my Father, I don't want to know him. And that's true. That's where some people are. And the truth is, while many people do have wonderful fathers, do have good fathers, other fathers are unpredictable. They're moody, they're abusive, they're controlling and violent. And saying our Father in heaven can carry quite a painful baggage for some. Many people unconsciously think that God is like their earthly father. And this may not be a problem if your father was kind and wise and loving, but if your father was unreasonable, then automatically you think God is unreasonable. If you've had a hard time connecting with your father, you assume straight away that I'm going to have a hard time connecting with God. But we need to let go of misconceptions. Misconceptions will keep you disconnected from God. Instead, we need to let go of misconceptions and myths so that we can understand the truth about God the Father. And the truth about God the Father is this: he loves you. He cares for you. He is with you and he is for you. And when you find that truth will set you free, and that truth will set you free to know God and to love him. I remember when I was first introduced to God. I was 7 years old. I was sitting in my school table, didn't have a clue who God was. And we were doing like an art project. We were like doing stars. Everyone, like, you know, like Orion's Belt and all that sort of stuff, like a load of rubbish. But someone was drawing, I didn't know this at the time, but someone was drawing a cross next to me. And I said to the girl, I went, what's that you're drawing? Oh, that's God's cross. And I went, who's God? All the kids on the table were like, oh my God, you don't know who God is. Oh, mate, he's going to hit you with lightning tonight. You're going to die. God, oh, God is angry with you. I was like, oh, I don't want to know this God. It proper terrified me. And growing up, I sort of had this image of God being like this superior, like angry tyrant, like sort of like, oh yeah, if you don't do this, I'm going to, like, nah, I don't want to know God really. Like, and then I started to come to church, like, and I always thought, like, you know, like when I first came to church, I was sort of dipping my toe through the door. I thought, I know I've been bad, so God will probably burst me into flames if I walk through this, you know. I was like, I can't go to church, like, God is angry with me. But then I started to actually know who God was. And I started to turn my thoughts about God from this angry tyrant, this almighty being to actually he's a loving father and he loves me. And that changed my whole life. That changed my whole perception of God. That changed my whole perception of prayer and everything else that I go through. Do you look at God like an angry tyrant, or are you calling him as father? Because God has called you his children, and we are to call him father. And when you have a father, you have a conversation with him. We can have a conversation with our Father in heaven. Prayer is a privilege. We get to talk to our Father all the time. Talking to people is easy. Everyone here chats all the time. Like, as everyone, I remember being a kid and my mum chatted forever. Like, if we met people in the street, so have you ever stood there like, oh, come on, mum? Like, she just talks and talks. And don't lie, we all been there. Like, we all chat. But even nowadays, like, talking has become more easier. And we do it in so many different ways. We can chat without even moving our lips now. That's the amazing thing. We're all going to turn into ventriloquists. It's crazy. We can text, work, like WhatsApp, Snapchat, however you want to do it. We can chat to people in so many different ways. And the more that we chat to people, the more that we get to know them and the closer that we get. But the less we chat to people, the less we get to know them and the more that we drift away from them. And it's the same with God. Sometimes we have days when we have deep, significant talks with God and our relationship grows. But on the days when we have little or no conversation with God, our relationship can decay. And it's that simple. When we really love somebody, you don't just want to spend time together. You want to talk to that person. Do you remember when you was a teenager and you fell in love, you had your first crush and you was always on the phone to them, and your parents got so annoyed because you were running up their phone bill because all you did was talk and talk and talk to the person that you were getting to know. But communication is how we get to know people. What do you talk about when you express your love to God? You should talk about the same things that you would talk to your closest friend about. You should talk about your hopes, your fears, your dreams, your desires, your anxieties, the things that embarrass you, the things that you're proud of, the things that you're ashamed of, your goals, your ambitions, your hurts, your cares. In fact, every single area of your life is what we should speak to God about. And the Bible says in Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy, because he bends down to listen. I will pray as long as I have breath. If you don't feel close to God because your Christian life has become routine, it's become dull, joyless, and lifeless, then there's a simple remedy to fix that. Start talking to God again. Prayer is not some duty that we have to do. It's a privilege that we get to do. You get to talk to your Father in heaven, the Creator of the universe, and he's waiting on you to have a conversation with him so that your relationship can grow. That picture that we got earlier, God is standing there waiting for you to welcome him into the sandpits of your life. And when you do, it's important that we make time to be quiet. Every great movement of God can be traced back to a single prayer. If you want God to bring great power into your life, you need to pray. God made us to have a relationship with him. God isn't going to speak to you in your life if your life is filled with noise. You've got to get alone. You've got to get quiet. And we call this a quiet time with God. Jesus says it like this in Matthew 6. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God and you will begin to sense his grace. Here's the key to hearing God speak and getting his vision in your life. God wants to meet with you. You need to realize that you're not waiting on God. He's waiting on you. God made you to have a relationship with him, and he wants you to spend time with him daily. He wants you to schedule a date with him every day. God is waiting for you. And getting alone in a quiet place can be difficult today. I don't know about you, but our lives are very, very noisy. Everywhere you go, everywhere I go, there's always music playing. There's always something going on. Like, you've always got music playing in your Bluetooth headphones, your speaker. Do you know that every like shopping center or public place you go to, there's always music in the background? You never get a time to be quiet. There's very little time or space in your life that's quiet. Even, not just in public places, even at home, like, you know, when the wife is going in your ear hole or the husband's going on in your ear hole. When do you ever get time to be quiet? Who here like me struggles to switch off? You struggle to switch off from work. You're always thinking about work. You're always thinking about, you know, what's the next strategy? What's the next plan? What's the next move? Why aren't you being quiet? And kids, well, if you've got kids at home, then that's even more difficult. But let me give you some hope. Susanna Wesley, one of the greatest women of history, she had 18 children. 18 children. Put her down, Sam. And one of her sons was called John. And he found the Methodist Church and helped spread Christianity across America. And another one of her sons was Charles, who wrote a load of hymns, 6,000 hymns in total. Mighty men of God. How do you rise up men of God like that when you've got 18 children? Simple. How do you find time alone when you've got 18 children? In her biography, it says that Susanna Wesley would sit in her favorite chair every afternoon. She would throw her apron over her head for an hour. And when she'd done that, her kids knew that mum with an apron over her head, you do not bother her. No one bothers mum, because if you do, you face the consequences. And that's quite impressive when you think about it. Like, when we think about it today, like, when do your kids know to give you that time? When you're doing something, when do your kids walk in a room? Like, I remember if my mum was on the phone to someone, like, your mum ever done this? Like, as soon as you walked into a room and you were making noise, she'll just turn and go, yeah, yeah, don't you dare, mum. Yeah, I knew straight away that if I made any noise after that, I was in trouble. Yeah, my mum would turn from Joanna Lumley to Doc Cotton straight away. You know what I mean? I just knew when, like, you know, I had to be quiet. But, you know, even as single mums, you know, you lot have it hard, man. You're doing the job by yourself. When do you get time to stop and be quiet and have time with God? Well, Wesley said that his prayers from his mum shaped his life. And if Susanna Wesley can find space every day to spend time with God, then we can too. And we need to do what we need to do to make time to be quiet and meet with God, our Father. Sometimes that means getting up a bit earlier. Sometimes that means switching off the TV a bit earlier. Or maybe you just need a bit of assistance. Maybe we just need to help someone. Look, I just want a bit of time with God. Can someone just, you know, just watch over the kids while I go and do that? Maybe it's that. Do what you need to do to make time and be quiet and meet with your God, because your God is waiting for you. And just like Susanna Wesley, just like her, your kids will follow in that same pattern. And when you're with God, pray about everything. Don't hold back. Pray about everything. A day without prayer is a day without blessing, and a life without prayer is a life without power. Talk to God about everything in your life. It says it in the Bible, Philippians 4, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. I have never met a person with a strong prayer life who is unhappy. People who have strong prayer lives take everything to the Lord. They take their problems, their concerns, their needs and desires, and they leave it with God. And it's hard to be happy without prayer, without trusting that God is in control. But God's formula for happiness is very simple. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. Notice that this verse doesn't say, pray only about the big things in your life, or pray only about the things that you think are spiritual. Pray about everything except your career, except the things that are fun in your life, except for your desires. It doesn't say that. It says pray about everything, not just about some things. Some people have this logic that says, oh, God has things on his mind. Like, God's too busy to hear my little problems. He's busy out there creating different universes and sorting everyone else out. So how can I pray about my ingrown toenail or stuff like that? They even think God will be insulted by their little requests. It's like, how can I bring this to God? But if that's the way that you think today, then you're wrong. You may get too busy for God, but God is never too busy for you. An infinite God can be interested in an infinite number of things and all at the same time. And that means that you can talk to him about everything. You can talk to him about your relationships, your education, your work, your health, and your play. It's been said that you can't stumble if you're on your knees. If you want to be happy, pray about everything. I pray to God about everything. I don't hold back. I pray to God about my fears. I'm like, God, please, man, I love you. If it's your will, then your will be done. But please don't let me lose my hair as I grow older. I want to die with a full head of hair. Please, I'm being honest. That's one of my fears. I'm being honest. But, you know, God bless you if you have. Like, it's nothing. She made it awkward. But I'm being honest, like, it's a fear, isn't it? Like, it's one of my fears, but I hope that it doesn't happen. I pray to God about my desires. I'm like, God, I want marriage. I want kids. I want my family to be an ambassador of your kingdom, God. Like, I want us to be a mighty work for your kingdom. And not just praying into my marriage and my kids, but I'm also praying in my singleness. I pray that my singleness is a reflection of what God has for my life, in celibacy, in leading the right way. And that's important. I pray for our youth. We had a youth camp recently, and all the leaders were praying, like, you know, God would come and just empower and just have a really great time with our youth. And we were praying, and my prayer was, you know what, God? I pray that the youth take over. I pray that the youth take ownership of this weekend and they make it their own. And we were just praying and praying and praying. And we got to a situation where we didn't have a worship leader. And it was like, oh, God, what are we going to do? Like, what's going to happen? And little Talia, Jesus and Teresa's daughter, stepped up and went, I'll play. And it was like, yes, prayer answered. They're taking ownership. They're making it their own. If you're praying into something, it will be done. And are we praying into our kids? Are we praying in to the next generation? I pray for my work. You've heard so many stories about my work. If God can move in my workplace, he can move in yours. If God can move in Beverly's workplace, God can move in yours. Amen? Pray to God about everything. I'll finish with this. Don't leave God waiting. God is waiting for you. Isaiah 30 says this, the Lord still waits for you to come to him so that he can show you his love. God longs to be close to you. If you're away from somebody that you love for a long time, you can't wait to talk with them. And if you've not been close to God, he can't wait to talk to you. Because he loves you so much. And he's always available. God has a 24/7 drop-in line. He's never offline. You can talk to him at any moment of the day. Did you know that every day you go without prayer and spending time with God in his word, God is waiting for you. You were made for this. You were made to know God and have a relationship with him. The Lord waits for you to come to him so that he can show you his love and compassion. It's the whole reason we exist. Let's not miss out on talking to God, the Father who created us. Because you weren't put on this planet to mark things off your to-do list. You were put on this planet to be loved by God and to learn to love him back. You were chosen to be his child. You were formed for his family, and you were created for companionship. And God says this to us today. I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. Isaiah 6. God is waiting for you to talk to him. Let's not make him wait any longer. Can we just stand where you are? And if you can get into groups of threes or fours, we're going to pray for each other right now. We're going to put this word into action. Because I feel that God has something for us today. That picture we got earlier and everything that we've been hearing this morning, some of us have rocks in our sandpit that needs to be removed and we can't remove them ourselves. And God is sitting there. He's sitting there in the background he's waiting for you to call on him so that he can go, let's do this together. God is waiting for you. If you can get in your twos or threes, and we're just going to pray. Philippians 1 says this, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. From these verses, I want you to pray for the people that you're praying for. I want you to pray this. I want you to pray that they will grow in love, that their love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight. Pray that they will make wise choices in life so that they will be able to discern what is best for them. Pray that they will live with integrity so that they can be pure and blameless of the day that Christ returns. And pray that they will become more like Jesus every day, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And if you were to ask for prayer today, ask this question. What is the one prayer that you would love God to answer this week? Because the Father is standing there waiting for you to call on Him. He's waiting for you to invite Him in. In fact, let's just lay hands on wherever you are. Just let's just receive right now. Just pray into everyone's life right now. What is it you want God to do in your life this week? What is it that you want God to change and break into this week? The Father is here. He is stepping in right now. He is waiting for you. Father God, come. Awesome power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, hear our prayers, God. Help us to know you as Father, Lord. Help us to speak to you as Father. Help us to share everything, Lord, that is on our hearts today. Help us to grow in love. Help us to make wise decisions, Lord. Help us to live with integrity. And Lord, every day, make us more and more like you. God, whatever is on our hearts today, Lord, come into our lives and change the situation this week, Lord. Answer our prayers this week, God. Pour your spirit out on your people this morning, Lord. The Father loves you, guys. The Father loves you. Open your heart to Him today. Open your heart to Him right now. The Father wants to step in. He wants to step in.